Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs, sharing the success of entrepreneurship. And it's great to have as our next guest, Greg Stoller. Greg is professor extraordinaire at Boston College, and he also really brings a international business flair to our group as a frequent guest in discussing entrepreneurship and international business. Greg, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. It's nice to see you guys, and you're making me blush.
And Greg, it's really good to see you. This is Peter Meyerson, and with our host, Mark Z, sitting in for Jeff Davis, somewhere good.
Hopefully somewhere good, Peter. Peter, great to be with you today. And Greg, thanks for coming. And before the show, we were talking about something that you've really developed at BC. I think that one of the things that you've brought to BC is engaging your students in the transition from the academic sphere to the reality of business. And you started a program 4 years ago.
Well, Boston College has been participating for 4 years. The program has been in existence long before then. But yes, we have been proudly a member of what's called the Venture Capital Investment Competition, which is sponsored and started by UNC down in North Carolina. Wonderful organization. In many cases, it's the opposite of the MBA Business Planning and Entrepreneurship course that I teach for the benefit of our listeners. That course is where I go out and find 20 entrepreneurs. And then the students will write business plans for those entrepreneurs, and the entrepreneurs receive all of the work free of charge and maintain all IP rights. VCIC is the opposite of that, in the sense that the organizers will bring the entrepreneurs to this competition, and then Boston College is one of six business schools, which is happens to be in the New England flight this year, that is negotiating mock financing terms with these entrepreneurs.
So you have real entrepreneurs who are trying to raise money from one source or another.
Correct. I view this, Peter, as an opportunity for the entrepreneurs to get free feedback, if you will. And I think many of the entrepreneurs, because as a judge, of course, even though I'm a team captain, as a judge, you can talk to the entrepreneurs. All of the identities of the schools, by the way, are masked. But you talk to everybody offline, and you realize that if an entrepreneur gets one financing idea, or gets to a new customer, or gets an idea for how they can bring their company forward, it's certainly worth a half day of their time. Plus, it's for the benefit of education.
Greg, the other thing you were talking to us about, though, with this competition is the quality of schools and the brain trust. Can you go step by step as far as how the competition works and not only the benefits, but who's involved in what
sure,
colleges
I'd
are?
I'd be happy to. Thanks, Mark. So what happens is every year, many of these schools hold what's called a local competition. So I championed our local competition at Boston College. I had somewhere between, every year it differs, but I think this year we've had 14 to 15 students. I brought in three entrepreneurs myself. Each of those students was randomly assigned to a team. And then the judges selected two finalists. They selected one of the two or three teams as the best team out of the three, simply for bragging rights.
Who are the judges?
So I organized this locally. I found three entrepreneurs. I also found three judges. I also have five or six mentors who worked with each of these three teams, et cetera.
Wow.
I've been very fortunate over the almost 15 years that I've been doing this. I have several people, probably numbering over 100, who either guest speak in my class or mentor our students or work with our students to sponsor business plans, et cetera. So a lot of these people just love the thought of being involved with an educational situation, our educational sphere, as you said, Mark. So they're doing double duty. So it just so happens this fall that we had a couple of people who opted to do double duty. But regardless, the judges selected two finalists. The first finalist was the first team out of the three that competed just for bragging rights, but more importantly, they selected what I call a dream team. And of the 15 students who participated, they selected five students across all three teams and one alternate to represent Boston College at the VCIC regional competition, which is happening in Boston on February 27th. To answer your question, Mark, we are going up against Babson, Dartmouth, Harvard, Wharton, and Yale.
Wow. Wow.
Quite an assortment.
It is an assortment.
Yes.
Now, let me ask you, well, let's talk about it. This reminds me of a throwback to my childhood, where on TV you had college compete against college. Is this going to be on video? Because this could sounds like this could be a wonderful educational tool.
So that's a good question. I know that there are seven regional competitions literally throughout the world. I don't know if VCIC is going to be videotaping them per se, simply for reasons of confidentiality.
Right.
I blog and tweet heavily about it, but the format this year is actually different. I think it's terrific. They used this format at the finals last year. BC was lucky enough to make the finals last year, and we did very well. So they have taken what they usually do in the finals, and they're doing them at the regionals. Basically, what they do is all six teams will first participate in what's called a partner meeting, where they are presented with two entrepreneurs and two business plans. They have to lobby the partners, aka the judges, as to which of these two horses they're going to back. Of those six teams, I believe that the judges are going to select two finalists to continue to the negotiation stage. So again, for the benefit of our listeners, you've got six teams that are presenting to the partners as to which horse to back. The partners are going to select two to negotiate, and then of those two teams, they either are going to select the same entrepreneur or different entrepreneurs. But regardless, in round two, if you will, they're going to negotiate mock financing terms with these entrepreneurs in front of the judging panel. And of those two finalists, one of them is going to quote unquote win the regionals, and they're going to go on to the finals at UNC in April of 2015.
That's very interesting. So I'd like to follow up, with something Mark said, which is, is this videotaped? It should be. I mean, I don't know, I guess there's confidentiality issues, but it would be a wonderful show.
It's a good question, Peter. As a team captain, at the risk of minimizing what we all do, Boston College is just showing up. We are not, an organizer of the competition. I know that for my business plan course, we have videotaped it, and it's certainly helpful from a pedagogical perspective in future years to look back and to say what you did well, what you didn't do well. But I just love it for the students that this is truly – in my opinion, a capstone experience that many of them are. This year we've got MBA, MSF, Master of Science in Finance, full-time and part-time students. And it's just an opportunity as they're all nearing the end of their graduate school career to put it all together.
Right. I think that what it does is it keeps them going toward the finish line, because as you close your years and your months up, I think it sounds like it can really jazz and put a lot of what they learned in the classroom together. What's interesting, just to follow up what you're saying in terms of when your participation started 4 years ago, have you looked back? Have you followed up to some of the people who have been in this program, and where are they now?
That's a great question. Well, I'll answer that from two perspectives. Perspective one is that a number of students have actually gotten jobs in finance, in venture capital, or working for PE firms or hedge funds, et cetera, and they directly sort of credit this program from doing so. I literally was in touch with a student last week who was able to parlay his experience in last year's VCIC into an internship, and now he's actively seeking full-time employment. The more interesting perspective, though, Mark, is that seeing why teams haven't advanced to the next round has usually been due to a classic error. And there's no, plain vanilla error that every single team makes. I think 3 or 4 years ago, one of the students wasn't following the body language or wasn't looking at the situation and said to the entrepreneur that if he grants the financing with, quote unquote, our student's VC firm, that they will replace the entrepreneur with professional management. And the entrepreneur looked at them quizzically and basically asked a follow-up question akin to, are you sure you want to do that? And the student said, heck yeah, absolutely. Obviously, that didn't resonate well with the entrepreneur, and certainly not with the judging panel. They got knocked out. A couple of years ago, another team used what I call highfalutin finance language, is they wanted to impress the judges with their nomenclature and their alleged knowledge of all things venture capital, and they might have used the right term, but when they were drilled two or three levels, they realized it was like learning a different language. You learned the vocabulary word, but you don't know the nuance behind it.
Right.
And it became very clear as I was cringing in the back of the room that the students had no idea what they were talking about in that year. They didn't make it, etc. Last year, we were very fortunate, and I was very excited that our team not only made the finals, but came in sixth in the world.
Oh.
They also made a minor mistake, and had they not made that mistake, they probably should have or could have won the entire competition.
What kind of mistake did they make?
I mean, they ended up using a financing strategy with tranches, and it was probably a little bit too complex when a more simplistic approach to financing would have been in order.
It's interesting. I mean, are there any classic errors that these people make, or are they just all over the board?
No, that's a great question. I think part of the reason that we've done so well in the past few years is we literally will put these kids through training, and I don't want us to make us sound like we're a vocational school, but we will put them through training in the sense that this team this year has probably already mock negotiated with probably 10 entrepreneurs, and it's only late January. They have probably met with 15 or 20 different mentors, whether it be through phone calls, email exchanges, etc. They've reviewed a number of different business plans. Essentially, we are putting them through the paces again and again and again. So by the time that they negotiate, a lot of the classic errors that you indicated, Peter, I mean, given what you guys do professionally, whether it be law or whether it be, you know, human resource staffing, you guys have been at this for a while. I mean, that is a mark of respect, by the way. You know, if a rookie employee or a young person or a client is going to make a classic mistake, you just, you know, your radar's up and you're very much zoned in on what to do and what not to do. These students are probably in their late 20s, early 30s. They're learning as they go, which is the whole point, if you take a step back, of this competition, etc. But we're hoping that some of the classic mistakes that you indicated, Peter, that we will leave them on the cutting room floor, if you will, on campus in Boston College, in our conference rooms before they go into competition, etc.
You know what this reminds me of, like PSATs before they take the SATs for kids who have never taken any kind of standardized tests. What you're doing is, and classic practice anywhere from scrimmage versus the game. So especially when young entrepreneurs are getting out there in the field, they literally are coming in touch with these VCs that have so much understanding of the process, and they don't. And now you're sort of equipping them with a little bit more knowledge that they're not going in with a deer in the headlights.
Right. And the fact that every team competes anonymously, you can't necessarily say, well, you know, XYZ school is a great school, so, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod, we'll let them advance because of the reputation. Every single school is competing anonymously. The judges don't know who's who. The entrepreneurs certainly don't know who's who. And it really forces the students to compete. I also love the fact that this isn't just a speech contest where you can memorize and regurgitate and you can figure on the nuance of your language or, you know, how you are enunciating, etc. You have to negotiate live. And right. In many cases, the judges or entrepreneurs, they haven't planned to do this, but they will ask you a curveball type question, and the students have to adjust on the fly. I love it. I think I'm really proud of our students, and I think this is just a great experience for them.
I like practical education. It sounds like this is real state of the arts, and it's going to be very useful. Well, Greg, thank you so much for coming in today and sharing the story in this competition. If our listeners would like to learn more about your program and other types of programs that you're part of in BC, how could they reach you?
Sure. And once again, thanks for the opportunity to join your show as a guest. They can reach me at my Boston College email address, which is gregory.stoller.1@bc.edu. That's gregory.stoller.1@bc.edu.
Excellent. Well, Greg, thanks again, Greg, for coming here. Peter, thank you for being my compatriot in crime. And
always a pleasure, Mark.
Thank you, Mutual. And we'll be right back on Radio Entrepreneurs.